461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is bubbling over to be talked about. The Bible. Should we ban it or burn it? Should we ban the Bible in America or burn it? That's a serious question. We have those across the Marxist media today that would see it banned very easily, and if possible, they would endorse burning it. I believe it is time we come to conclusion of what we need to do in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist media and the communist left are angry, frightened, confronting President Trump and others because of reading the Bible publicly. It's taking place right now, this week, with a 24/7 reading of the Word of God, over 500 people involved in the reading. It is called America Reads the Bible. Here's a headline. Mike Johnson said America's greatness began with one of the core beliefs, that our rights come from God, not government. Speaking at a launch of the America Reads the Bible in Washington, D.C., he called the week-long reading of Scripture a national rededication and said it's a chance to defend and restore the foundations of our country. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the foundations, Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What is it talking about, the foundations? Foundation simply is referring to the moral, ethical, spiritual, societal structure that holds our life together on planet Earth. It talks about truth and justice. It is God's law. It's God's righteousness. It's faith in God. If the foundations be destroyed, eviscerated, annihilated, removed, what are the righteous to do? That's the question that David asked in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we see what is happening today in America is nothing less than a focus on wanting to destroy the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Further in this article by Mike Johnson, Johnson also shared a deeply personal testimony about his father surviving a devastating explosion after doctors gave little hope. Johnson said, and I quote, "I fell on my face before the Lord and prayed, and God answered." He said, at that moment, it shaped my faith from a young age and convinced me that God's Word is flawless and true. He closed with the message of hope. God is not done with America yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to recognize what is happening and what's taking place. It's bringing out of the woodwork those like Jerry Nadler 3 years ago on the floor of the House because someone was reading from the Bible trying to reject the HRO, the Human Reprobate Ordinance they're trying to pass Resolution 5 in the House at the time. Jerry Nadler screamed at the one, the legislator reading from the Bible, says, stop, the Bible has no place in the halls of Congress. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the mindset today. It's offensive for those that read it. It's offensive to those that hear it read, may I say. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues today, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does the Bible say? It is the truth book. In John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the truth book. Thy word is truth. Psalm 117 and verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for truth. Although I might admit very readily that truth is an elusive thing in society today. Truth is an elusive thing. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factual today. There are a number of people today that when you say something about truth, they will get all riled up, bristled up on the neck, and want to challenge the truth. We see that happening on the Marxist media today. It doesn't matter what President Trump does. If President Trump were to walk on water and raise the dead, the Marxist media and the socialist, Marxist, communist on the left would criticize him that he didn't do it fast enough, he didn't do it properly as they would see it, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint said, and I quote, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Here's part of what he said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we see the decline of the true church, I'm not talking about performance church, I'm not talking about progressive woke church, I'm not talking about entertainment church, I'm talking about when the true church, as we see the true church imploding, apostasy, the falling away, the more we see of that in America and around the world, especially in America, the more we're going to see the cults move in, the false religions move in, and the diminishing of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'm looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. You might ask the question, what is absolute truth? Absolute truth, according to the dictionary, Webster's, truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact. However, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes today want to bifurcate truth. I've said, you've heard me say many, many times, a half truth is a whole lie. We need to stick to the truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. John Huss says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my quote from John Huss. That's my challenge for us today, is that we seek the truth, learn it, love it, live it, be willing to stand and defend it. We're living in an era that we need to defend the truth. While we yet have constitutional liberties and freedoms to do so. A little footnote, it is my most humble opinion that if we, the conservatives, Christians and conservatives in America, if we lose the midterm election, if the socialist, Marxist, communist dominate the House and the Senate, we may as well kiss goodbye the two-party constitutional republic that we have in America today. It's that grave. It's that serious. And it should cause every Christian to listen up and understand what we have that God has given us today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. And ladies and gentlemen, atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, should we ban it or burn it? There's a lot of chaos, confusion, calamity, and churning today because the Democrats are all upset by Trump reading the Bible. In fact, it was, what's his last name, Cooper, on the Communist Network News, married to a homosexual. He's a sodomite person and married to another sodomite. And apparently they've adopted two sons. He was bragging on the CNN broadcast this morning, or last evening, I've forgotten which, that he has two sons, 4 and 6 years old, and he said he is just concerned about what they're having to tolerate or see when even the president is willing to read the Bible. And he says, after all, the president doesn't have any faith at all. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have real religion, and yet he's reading from the Bible. And I'm thinking, son, what are you doing training your two sons that you've adopted, brought into a sodomite home? What are you training them? How does it fit with the Bible? And yet he was griping and complaining and chastising and challenging, condemning President Trump from reading 2 Chronicles 7:14. And he says that he ought not to be doing that because he doesn't really have any religion. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad day when we see those that are wanting to throw darts, undermine the foundation of America because they hate President Trump so much that he ought not. In fact, they went on to say on the Communist Network News that all Trump wants to do is sell the Bible. There's a Bible that's out by Lee Greenwood. President Trump promotes it for him. And they said he's selling the Bible for $60 a piece, and that's the only interest he has in the Bible. And now talking about reading the Bible publicly, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just President Trump. You've got the Secretary of State Marco Rubio. You've got the Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, and all of the cabinet and those acolytes within that circle, and multitudes of others that's reading from the Word of God from Genesis through the Book of the Revelation. I'm thankful for that. But ladies and gentlemen, it stirred up the dust bowl in America of those that hate God, that are anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Christian, and most of all have TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, in the worst kind of way. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, and it's about 5 pages. I'm going to touch on 2 or 3 paragraphs. President Trump to read from 2 Chronicles 7:14 at America Reads the Bible event marking the nation's 250th anniversary. Let me pause there for a moment. Our nation was founded 250 years ago on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And President Trump is saying at this 250th benchmark, 250th year, we need to go back to the fundamental basics of the Bible and what the Bible says. I'm happy to read, ladies and gentlemen, an article that just came off the press. Federal Appeals Court upholds 10 commandments display in public schools. A federal court has upheld a Texas law requiring public schools across the state to display the 10 commandments in the classrooms. And a 9-8 decision came from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reversing a 2025 ruling that had said the law failed to demonstrate a traditional posting of the Ten Commandments. The American Civil Liberties Union and other groups argued that the law violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, the Establishment Clause, as they claim it, is a farce. It's a farcical, absolute, deceitful lie that's been perpetrated for years and years and years, that we have a wall of separation of church and state and the First Amendment. That is simply not the case at all. When you analyze what our Federalist Papers say, when you analyze what our Founding Fathers said, when you analyze the discussion about the First Amendment, had nothing to do with a wall of separation of church and state. It had all to do with the fact that in the discussion with our Founding Fathers and the Founding Documents, that they concluded and assured us that there would not be a state church as the church in England that we had come out from under, where there was one church and it was the church, a state church that you're required to be a part of. That's the thing that they said would not happen. It was not a wall of separation of church and state. Let me read further. Headline says, Federal Appeals Court upholds Ten Commandments display in public schools. The American Civil Liberties Union and other groups argued that the law violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, which prohibits the federal government from creating a state religion. But the court ruled that the requirements does not violate the rights of any parent or student, because no child is made to recite the Ten Commandments, believe them, or affirm them as their divine origin. The law only requires that the public schools and open enrollment charter schools to display in a conspicuous fashion the copy of the Ten Commandments. The U.S. Supreme Court has established in recent rulings, like Kennedy versus Bremington School District, that religious displays are not, hear me, not banned from school. Let me just leave it off there and go to the latter paragraph in this article. The Ten Commandments have been a part of our nation's history and tradition. Banning them from schools because they're religious is not justified by the Constitution and would undermine a comprehensive education for America's students. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful and I applaud the appeals court that made that ruling. Do you realize in 2018, ladies and gentlemen, right here in the state of Florida, one of our legislators in the U.S. in the Florida House introduced a bill. It was passed, signed by the governor at that time, that required the In God We Trust, a sign that says In God We Trust, to be placed over the classroom doors in all schools in the state of Florida. Do you realize that's never been implemented? It's never been required. It's never been enforced. It's never been done. Why? I think it's time we ask our legislators in the state of Florida why. I think it's time we demand that the State Department of Education School Board implement the law that's in the books. The law's never been eviscerated, never been amended, never been changed, never been ruled unethical or illegal. It's still the law, and it's not being done. Ladies and gentlemen, it is simply because we the people, Christians, conservatives, patriots, we've been silent for too long. Ladies and gentlemen, this article reads further. President Trump reads 2 Chronicles 7:14. America reads the Bible event marking the 250th anniversary. President Trump will read from 2 Chronicles 7:11-22. Ladies and gentlemen, he did that yesterday afternoon at 6 o'clock. It was read so that the world can hear it. And as he read it, by the way, that was the point of contention again with the Communist Network News, CNN, and other networks like that, ridiculing President Trump, a non-religious man. Listen, one of the commentators on CNN said Joe Biden was more religious. He wore the rosary bracelet around his wrist every day. Let me just pause for a moment. What's that going to do? Will that rosary bracelet take him to heaven? Did that make him more spiritual? Did that make him righteous before God in doing so? Not on your life. But that was the comparison that they wanted to make. And yet they said that Joe Biden never had to read the Bible publicly. He never had to tell people about his faith. Everybody could just see it. There's a Greek word for that. It's called horse feathers. This article reads further. The text that's the key text in that unit of thought. If my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We're going to look at that text later in the broadcast today. There's a key word in that entire verse. It's the word then when. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Dr. Ben Carson, a neurosurgeon and former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development during Trump's first administration, and his wife, Candy, are scheduled to follow the president's reading. The event brings together nearly 500 leaders and representatives of 122 ministries in Washington, D.C., to continuous public reading of the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Daily readings run from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Museum of the Bible's World Stage Theater from Sunday through Saturday. Opening celebration was held this past Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. During the reading from 9 to 9, the Museum of the Bible's World Stage Theater will be continuing to read. An opening ceremony was held. House Speaker Mike Johnson took part in the opening celebration and is scheduled to read from Genesis 24, which traces the genealogy and the genealogical blessing from Abraham to Isaac. Mike Johnson said he was honored to stand alongside fellow Americans, acknowledging the moral and religious foundation and heritage of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it is a wonderful gesture. I think it gets the focus back where it ought to be on the Bible. But listen, the Bible is not a threat in several cases. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What say you? Is it all right for President Trump to read from the Bible publicly? Is it all right for civil servants, i.e. governmental workers? We call them the federal government. Is it all right for them to read publicly from the Bible? Is it okay for our president and our political leadership to express publicly their willingness to read the Bible and their confidence in the Word of God? Is anything wrong with that? Listen, is there anything wrong if a lost person were to stand and publicly read from the Bible? Tell me, what are your thoughts? Should that be condemned or blessed and praised? Telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Listen, the Bible is not offensive when it is bought, placed on a shelf, and it collects dust. It's not offensive to anybody. When it's never opened, it's never actually read. It's not offensive. When a Bible is never opened and discussed, it's not offensive. It doesn't bother anybody. When it is presented by false teachers to tell you how great you are, it's not offensive. In fact, it's embraced. When a television liberal happens to repeat a partial verse out of context to make a point, it's not offensive. They consider it a tool to be used at will and pluck out any portion they want to. When the Bible is said that God loves the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, God loves the abortionist, etc., etc., God loves every kind of sexual activity because God loves everybody, it doesn't offend anybody then. The Bible becomes very, very offensive, ladies and gentlemen, when it is publicly read aloud, when it is proclaimed, when the public reading by the President of the United States and civil government officials read the Bible, it becomes offensive to the heretical lost heathens in society. It becomes offensive. It's bothersome. There's a mindset somehow today, ladies and gentlemen, that reading the Bible ought not to be done publicly. Reading the Bible ought to be kept in the confines of your home, ought not to be on television or radio, ought not to be anything that would offend someone. In fact, one of the naysayers said that, by Trump reading the Bible, it could offend the Muslims, it could offend the Hindus, it could offend those that are non-religious, it could offend those that are non-churched. Ladies and gentlemen, any time the Bible is presented, if it's presented from the pulpit exegetically, expositorially, it's going to offend somebody. because it talks about sin. It calls sin, sin. It talks about heaven and hell, and a person is going to hell if he doesn't say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It becomes offensive, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible is open, when it is presented, when it is proclaimed, when it is read aloud. It becomes offensive. Some of the supporters of Trump reading the Bible. Let me just read a headline. When people discuss Donald Trump's reading of the Bible in public or political context, the debate usually centers less on the act itself and more on the symbolism, more on the intent and the relationship between religion and politics. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the supporters argue that any public figure, including the president, has a right to openly express his faith in reading the Bible. I say amen to that. Absolutely. That is the right, the privilege, the liberty, the freedom that we have in America. Because the president's president, he doesn't lose his Bill of Rights. He doesn't lose his right to speak publicly about his faith, any, if at all, that is there. He doesn't lose his right to read the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, has played a major, magnificent role in history. Many presidents, Abraham Lincoln, referred to scriptures and speeches. Supporters, ladies and gentlemen, see it as part of the long-standing tradition rather than something unusual. I believe it is the advocacy for the Word of God. I believe it is seen. Just think how many younger people today, just think how many may have never seen the Bible being read. Hear the President of the United States read the Bible and think, well, Mom and Dad, it's okay. Let's read the Bible. Let's go to church. I think it's a good motivation for Bible reading, Bible study, and the advocacy of the Word of God in the public arena. There are those that argue against the public reading. Critics argue that the highly visible religious act by a president can blur the lines between government and religion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's that old cliche is worn out. That old, how would you say, the last-ditch effort to prevent the reading of the Bible or the standing on religious issues that's been used so long, separation of church and state. Some of the emphasis says that, you know, the Bible may, if it's read, it might offend somebody. It might offend the non-believer. It might offend the non-Christian. It might offend the Islamic jihadist or the Hindu. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Bible becomes very, very offensive when it is publicly read, when it is proclaimed, when it's embraced, when it's encouraged to be read by others, when there's an understanding that the Bible can change lives. God designed it that way. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God gave us from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It is God's Word. It is the progressive revelation of God to man. It's God saying what He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do in print form. Ladies and gentlemen, I get a little uptight when I see this taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is banned today in the public schools for the most part. The reading of the scriptures banned in the public schools today for the most part. And I'm thankful that we have several states that have instituted and passed as law the Bible in the classroom or the Ten Commandments in the classroom. Several of those states have done that in the past 2, 3, 4 years, and yet several of them are tied up in the courts now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God. David said in Psalms 119, "The Word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Word of God can change a life. The Word of God can change America. The Word of God can heal a nation, as we'll see in a moment with the 2 Chronicles 7:14. I believe that it's time that we take a stand. Listen to this. I find it fascinating. Headline says, "Nearly half of Americans are Bible readers. Here's how much scripture they've read." Now listen, I applaud the statement, but I'm concerned with the numbers. We'll look at it, and then after the news in a moment, we'll come back and finish it. This says just shy of half of Americans have read at least 50% of the Bible, but only a quarter qualifies active scripture reading, according to the just-released data. The American Bible Society surveyed 2,649 U.S. adults January the 8th through the 27th and found 48% of Americans said they have read at least half of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM.